Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of March, recording at 8:23 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. And it's nice to be back and commenting on the markets on your behalf. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. First, the Asian stock markets, they were mixed, although perhaps a few more a little bit lower than higher. Quiet day, though, and for sure. And also a quiet day in Europe, a little bit of easing in the Spanish market, I can see. We had a majority of gains, but they really were small, most of them under 0.25%. Similar action in the Americas, Wall Street closing just a mere 0.02% higher on the S&P, slightly more on the Dow, and a fraction down on the NASDAQ composite. And in long-dated government bond prices, we had a little bit of steadying. The U.S. dollar is slightly easier in here today. The euro is pushed up to 131.55. The Australian dollar, however, is a little bit weaker at 105.16. Sterling not doing much at 156.43. That's down slightly. In precious metals, they slipped a bit today. We've got gold bullion back at $1,700 as I speak, trading in after hours. And we've got silver down 55 cents as I speak. A little bit lower on palladium as well. Platinum's been the exception, showing the best relative strength. It's currently at 1693. Crude oil looks like it's eased a little bit on the view generally that nothing's going to be done about Iran in the short term. I don't see why people are surprised about that, but that has led to a lower price in the WTI, which is at 106.42. And if I check the Brent, that's at 125.38, so that's only down 60 cents in comparison. Industrial metals mixed, lead a fraction higher, as was zinc and tin, the others a little bit lower. And elsewhere, not a bad day for corn, which is closed 14 cents higher at 6.59 and a half. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's abundantly clear that we are still in that reaction and consolidation phase for stock markets, and also for a number of commodities. Let's take stock markets first. The moves to date have been quite orderly in the form of small sort of ranging reactions, and some stock markets are really quite steady within those phases, so not much of a reaction, more of a pause and sideways or even a very slight upward bias. Now, that speaks well for the underlying strength so far, although until the reaction is over, and you don't know it's over until you get sustained upward breaks from the current trading ranges by a number of leading stock markets. Until that actually happens, there's always the possibility that following a loss of upside momentum, that we get a stab to the downside in here. More volatile conditions, in other words. And that's been something that the high frequency trading has certainly contributed to in the last few years. But maybe it is different this time. I would be cautious about concluding that that will remain the case during the duration of this consolidation. But I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far. In terms of this being quite consistent with the overall cyclical bull market hypothesis, which we've really been articulating since at least October, when we were seeing evidence that stock markets were in a support building phase. And of course, it's been mentioned regularly in these broadcasts. Really, from mostly from December onwards. Now, psychologically, I do think it is important in terms of whether we get just a ranging consolidation or a sharper, more volatile pullback, because the latter would obviously be of some concern to investors. Whereas if markets have really a very steady, narrow consolidation phase, correcting the short-term overbought conditions that were created by the best beginning to the year that we've seen in a good long time, 10 to 15 years in most instances, that if that's all we see in terms of a pullback, or if this is all we see in terms of a pullback, for all intents and purposes, and then we see renewed signs of strength, I think that could quite easily and quite quickly translate into another self-feeding overall upward trend. Either way, I repeat the point that this action is very consistent with the cyclical bull market that we have talked about. And therefore, it is very likely that it's going to be resolved by additional gains over the medium term. So I think that any pullback that we do see in this environment is really a buy opportunity, and my approach would be to buy the dips in this type of environment, such as they actually are. And in terms of long-dated government bond prices, a lot depends on how people see the overall economic environment. Now, that has been moderately weak, as you're well aware. It's been very weak in Europe. A slowing of growth among the China-led growth economies, and a very modest recovery in the U.S. But that modest recovery in the U.S. Has surprised many of the more pessimistic forecasters, and unfortunately, Fuller Money was not among that group, as we've never called for a double-dip recession or worse, as so many people were. And the main reasons for that were, of course, the quantitative easing, the strong growth that we were seeing for the U.S. autonomies as they were selling their products around the world. And then, of course, we've had the shale oil and shale gas boom in the United States. And those three factors have combined, in my opinion, to help the U.S. economy to recover. And of those three, the quantitative easing steroid injection would be the most important one. And one hopes, but it has yet to be proven, that the U.S. economy will gain sufficient traction so that it no longer needs those steroids. In terms of stock markets, I have little doubt that the Fed would come back in and provide more QE if it felt that the economy was softening once again. So psychologically, investors will take heart from that. There's still a fair amount of cash on the sidelines, and more of that is likely to be deployed, particularly if Europe doesn't create any shocks that have a shelf life of more than a few days. There'll be some, but I think there'll be fewer and further, and well, there'll be fewer of them, and the intervals between them will increase somewhat, certainly relative to what we saw during the last half of last year. Now, in terms of these long-dated government bond prices, what we are hoping to see and what we should see, if not this year, in the next few years, is a pickup in global GDP growth as Europe's problems are further contained, as global deleveraging moves well beyond its nadir, and as stimulative measures help to revive GDP growth. And I think we'll certainly see, we're very likely to see more stimulative measures from from the growth economies as well. Now, that stronger growth will inevitably push some of these artificially, historically low government bond prices downwards. In other words, it'll push yields up. It'll push those long-dated government bond yields up. But they're sufficiently low so that stock markets are unlikely to panic at the first sign of that. In fact, what that might do is trigger a switch from debt among the holdout equity pessimists and growth pessimists, so some of those people switch some of their funds from fixed interest markets into the equity markets. And I maintain that the equity markets look like reasonable value in this environment. The major concern in that respect would be the price of crude oil still. Owen and I have talked about that on a daily basis, of course, so there's nothing new in saying that. And while we've described oil as a modest headwind at current levels, as long as it doesn't flare up into a major storm, then that's okay. In other words, as long as you don't get a spike to the upside. And I don't think we should. I think we'll probably see a little bit of ennui regarding sort of the verbal saber-rattling that we've seen regarding Iran. And you know, it's a little bit like the boy who called the fable of the boy who called wolf. You keep repeating it, and then people no longer believe that it's going to happen. And I think that's the lull that we're in as far as any military move is concerned regarding Iran's nuclear installations. So hopefully we'll see that crude oil price ease back a bit, but it's unlikely to ease back a whole lot just because demand will remain fairly strong. Now, one factor other than the strength of crude oil, which has been favorable so far this year, is that while there has been some commonality, particularly with precious metals and stock markets, we have not seen that spread to all commodities across the boards. So if you look at the Continuous Commodity Index, the old CRB, which we post so many times, at CCI, if you're looking that up in the chart library that, although it's steadied and I think almost certainly has bottomed for the year, it's not pushing back upwards strongly. So we've still got some respite in terms of the commodity price inflation that we, I think, will almost certainly see when the global economy is stronger. We need to watch food prices. We've had a breather in terms of food price inflation, but some of those patterns have firmed up a fair amount. And read John Mendelson's piece, which I'm posting in here this evening. So there's no grounds for complacency in terms of food price inflation, but my point is that it's not much of a problem at the moment. And so you add all that into the mix, and that is favorable. We're not overheating. We're not seeing the kind of overheating that would pose a real threat to this global stock market cycle. And I think that still offers the best way to make money over the medium term. Precious metals, well, they're ranging here once again. The patterns are a bit iffy. The conclusion on my part here is that we saw the lows for this long, what's been a fairly lengthy medium-term consolidation. So if I put up gold on the screen, which obviously you can't see in this audio, but those lows that we saw last tested in December, I was just reminding myself, having come back to the office, reminding myself that was in late December when gold got back down to a little above the $1,500 level, the same level that it saw back in September. And we had a good steady rally before it ran into some selling pressure early at the beginning of this month, following a move close to the $1,800 level. So we're currently ranging in here. I think it's probably in a support building phase overall. I think it's quite likely that the lows that we saw back in December for these precious metals are likely to hold, and I still see no evidence that the secular bull market is over. But are we about to resume the medium-term upward trend? Well, right now we're still in a medium-term corrective phase, but we could be nearing the latter stages of that corrective phase. And I wouldn't be surprised if platinum and palladium are among the leaders in terms of the next upward move. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, good to be back. All the best to all of you.